Good morning. Can you hear me? Good. I feel like a Verizon commercial. There is an old movie called Gunga Din. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It's an old Cary Grant movie from, I think, the 1930s. So it's black and white. Now, some of you may be like a friend of mine who didn't watch a movie if it wasn't in color, because they're no good. And he's depriving himself of many very good movies by doing that. But this movie is about the British colonization of India and the force that it required for them to maintain their presence and control there. It's got Cary Grant and some other people you might recognize. But the thing about the movie that connected with me this morning about the epistle, if you heard as it was so lovely read by Susan, it talked about the high priest offering sacrifices. I want to talk about sacrifices, because in thinking about that this weekend, I came to a stunning revelation. The Orthodox Christian Church is a church of living human sacrifice. You heard me right. We are a church of living human sacrifice. Now, if you go and watch the movie Gunga Din, you will see that at some point, Cary Grant finds himself in these caves, and there are lots of local native Indians, and they are offering sacrifices, live human sacrifices, to their god. And that's the tension of the movie, is how is he going to escape from their clutches? And he does, I'll assure you. But that got me to thinking, what is the nature of sacrifice? You know, this depiction of ancient Indian culture as using live human sacrifice is not unique to them. If you study American history, it's my impression that there are those, or were those, in the Western Hemisphere that likewise practiced live human sacrifice as a propitiation, as a remission of sins. It's very interesting that mankind around the world and through different cultures would realize that the abyss, the gulf of separation between mankind and God, was so great that the only thing that we could give to God as an offering of, or an expression of thanks and a prayer for forgiveness, was life itself. Now, in the pagan cultures, what they did was they offered live human sacrifice of someone else. They offered the live human sacrifice, usually unwilling, of someone else. And that was their offering. They knew they needed to give life, so they gave someone else's. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? That's very convenient. Right. So, if we go back and look at the Jewish practice, what did God tell them? He said, yes, you need to give sacrifices, but you're going to give not of yourselves necessarily, but of your animals. Think of this in an agrarian culture. What was worth more to those folks than their cattle? Their cattle, their sheep, their flocks, you name it. That was their source of wealth, their source of status, their source of food, their source of trade. If you needed a bull and you had a couple of extra sheep, I guess maybe you could work out a trade. There was nothing more important to them than their cattle. And that's what God said to them. You will bring as an offering to me, a sacrifice, your livestock. And that's what they did. Now, in the epistle reading, it says that Christ is our high priest. In the fullness of time, God decided that we were ready as a human race, as mankind, that we needed to grow in our understanding of this vision of sacrifice. We weren't supposed to sacrifice someone else's life for our own. Neither were we supposed to think that by simply killing a bull and offering that for ourselves, that worked to save us. It didn't. It wasn't enough. So God Himself came in the form, the person of Jesus Christ, to be our high priest, to accept our sacrifice. But He took it to the highest level. Not only did He accept what we were to give as a sacrifice, He became the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. He died on that cross as a sacrifice for me and for you. So this idea that a living human sacrifice was necessary to reconcile us to God has never gone away. That may scandalize you, because many of us today think, oh, God is loving, God is patient, God is kind, God, and He is. But we cannot reduce Him to one attribute. We cannot reduce God to, oh, He is love, He is compassion. Because the flip side of that fallacy is, therefore, He is not just. Therefore, He never gets angry. Therefore, He's not going to get mad at me. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. No, we cannot do whatever we want. Christ came and died for us to reconcile us to God with a living human sacrifice. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, so, Father, what are you telling me? We have to, what does this mean exactly? If you read the Divine Liturgy, if you read the prayers, it talks about the bloodless sacrifice that we offer. Now, we have all just received Holy Communion, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, mysteriously, mystically filled with the Holy Spirit, given unto us for eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Those two go together. Who wants eternal life if you're still sinful, right? Death is a blessing in the way. Otherwise, we continue in this body. We just continue to degrade and get weaker and weaker. Our sin gets worse and worse. Who wants that? Death can be a blessing. Christ came and gave Himself for us, and what we do is we follow His example. Each and every one of us is commanded, if we want the kingdom of God, if we want to follow Jesus Christ, is commanded to offer ourselves as a living human sacrifice to God. Now, this doesn't mean we walk up here and cut our throats and die. It's much harder than that. You know, it's actually much harder than that. Sudden martyrdom, you know, that's actually pretty easy. That's not that tough if you think about it. Yeah, you got to work yourself up to it, but it obviously can be done. That's not that hard. What's hard is staying married. What's hard is forgiving your loved ones. What's hard is putting up with people. Am I lying? That's how we offer a living sacrifice to God, is forgiving them, especially when we're justified in being angry with them. Do you know the difference between justice, mercy, and grace? You know how I love three things: justice, mercy, and grace. Don't ask God for justice. Justice is getting what you deserve. Do you know what I deserve? Eternal punishment in hell. That's what I deserve. That's why we don't pray for justice. I dare you to find in that Divine Liturgy a reference to a prayer for justice. It's not in there. Be careful what you wish for. Those who seek social justice, you know, justice is kind of a two-edged sword. Be careful. What do we pray for? We pray for mercy. What is mercy? Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, right? We deserve punishment. We pray, God, have mercy on us. Now, we do not presume to regularly ask for the highest, which is grace. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. That's the kingdom. Now, we trust God in His love and compassion will give us that if we at least try. And that's really all He wants, is for us to just try to admit that we can't do it, that we're weak, that we're stupid, that we're sinful, to just try, that we're not God, He is. We need you to do it. But part of that deal is we have to sacrifice our lives. How do we do that? Giving our careers, our hopes, our lives, our health to Him. If you were to come home from the doctor tomorrow with a prescription or a diagnosis that said you're going to die in 6 months, what would be your reaction? Would you be angry at God? Oh, how could you let this happen? I'm a young man. I'm not ready to go. Would you be angry at God? That would be entirely normal, wouldn't it? Would you let go of that anger over time? That's the test of faith. I think God would expect you to be angry. I don't think that surprises him at all. But if at some point you come to the conclusion that, God, I'm not God, you are, this suits your will, this is not what I want, you know, hey, I don't like this, that's okay. I think he accepts that. I don't like this, but I accept it. You are God and I am not. Your will be done, not mine. You're the coach. You call the plays, not me. I'll just do what I can do. Now, that doesn't mean we don't love people. We don't go visit them in the hospital. We don't pray that God will heal them. Of course we do. But we have to give these things to God. We have to offer ourselves as a living human sacrifice. When we come out and do the great entrance, we have a paten, a disc with bread on it. I want you to think about that bread. And when we come by, I want you to mentally, mystically, spiritually cast into that bread your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your concerns, your life. Because that's what we take and put on that altar and we give it to God. And we ask Him to send His Holy Spirit down into your life, my life, your life, and to fill us with grace and peace and purpose so we know what He wants us to do and that we can glorify Him. Because what are we here for? We are here to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And doing that, to draw others closer to Him. That is what it's all about. So we are a church of living human sacrifice. But we don't sacrifice someone else. We don't sacrifice something like an animal. We sacrifice ourselves. Ourselves. That means time. That means sleep. That's my hardest. Boy, I don't like giving up sleep for stuff. I really don't. Being at seminary, that was one of the hardest things because those young kids would keep me up and I would come out of my room and I was not a happy camper. But we've got to learn, I've got to learn, sacrifice in the name of God with love for others. That's what it's all about. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we show we love Jesus Christ. Saying I love Jesus Christ and putting on your suit and coming to church on Sunday, that's nice and all, but that ain't enough. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not enough. If you don't prove it by loving others and sacrificing for them, I don't know. You know? I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's not a walk in the rose garden. So keep these things in mind, right? Love God, love your neighbor, love your wife, love your husband. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, if you can't love them, at least do this. Keep it zipped, right? Keep it zipped. That'll go a long way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.